Right. Wasn't that a great song? I'm so glad that we're complete in Him. We don't see all of the finished product, but one of these days we will. It's a settled matter. I'm not in my glorified body. You could tell by the way I walk up here. But I'll tell you, one of these days, it'll all happen. Thankful for that. I was preaching with a preacher somewhat younger than me, and after the service we were sitting down, and he said, "So, Brother Graham, are you 80? I said, "No." He said, "81. I said, "You're going the wrong direction." We got back to the room and my wife said, "How old does he think I am?" I said, "He thinks I robbed the cradle." She said, "Good answer." But anyway, and I am looking forward to her being here. And I know tomorrow there's an eclipse, I think, somewhere in the world. Well, actually, I know there is. And my wife is excited about that. She has her special glasses so she can see the eclipse tomorrow. I'm not making fun, but she really likes that kind of stuff. She likes meteor showers. And she had, a few years ago, the ladies at church bought her a really nice telescope. And, man, I mean, she could stargaze with it. And I don't mean it's wrong, but if you know anything about meteor showers, the best ones happen between, like, 2 to 4 in the morning. Personally, I like to sleep between 2 and 4 in the morning. And she could be more excited than I am. Sometimes, you know, it's like tonight's really going to be a good... And why do they always have to come? Seems like several of them come when it's just the coldest night of the year. But anyway, you know, we've watched some of those, and our kids have watched with her. We were up in Lincoln, Illinois. My dad pastored there when I was just a kid. And so... for many years, the pastor would have me come because all the former pastors had all passed away, including my dad. And so I would preach their anniversary Sunday. There was always a good meteor shower that Saturday before the service on Sunday. And thankfully, it came a little earlier. But we would go and watch it. And one year I told her I knew the area because I grew up there. So we drove out Fifth Street and pulled into a cornfield. Just you could tell where the tractor, you know, would pull in there into the fields. And so we pulled in there to watch the meteor shower. And we hadn't been there very long, and the police came along. And he got out, you know, and started asking questions. But immediately he was very gracious. I said, "Look, I'm preaching at Park Meadows Baptist Church tomorrow for their anniversary. We're just out here because there's a meteor shower tonight. But if we're trespassing, I don't mind the move." He said, "Oh, no. It's no problem with you being here, preacher, but somebody called in, said there's a couple young people out there. They're out in the country parking, and you need to go break it up." And he said, so anyway, we were just there to stargaze. So, but I'm looking forward to her being here. I always like it when she's here. I was telling the preacher, 43 years ago today, my brother went home to be with the Lord. He was 16, and... we never want to go through those kind of experiences at all, but the Lord used his death to bring a revival to our community, and it was a powerful thing that God did. And I had some people contact me this afternoon. People remember things, and one young man in particular who's been a preacher and pastor for many, many years, just reflecting about how God used my brother's funeral for him to really settle on serving the Lord, and he surrendered his life to the ministry at my brother's funeral. And, you know, I'm glad that there's a real place called heaven, and that this thing of Christianity, it's not just a figment of our imagination, but it's real. And I'm so thankful to know the Lord as my Savior, know that heaven's my home. Take your Bibles, if you would. Go to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and we'll begin reading in just a moment. Matthew chapter 14, familiar passage of Scripture. Let's begin reading in verse 22. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. For the wind was contrary, and in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. When his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Father, bless the reading of your word. I pray that you'll be glorified tonight, and all that's said and done, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I love this portion of Scripture, and of course, all of the, I would say, adventures the disciples got to enjoy. We know that they had much of their happenings around the Sea of Galilee, and even at times storms that they experienced. There was a storm where Jesus was with them in the ship, and then there's this storm where the Lord has gone apart from them, and they are sent to the other side. And so they are given, first of all, by way of introduction, the command of the Savior. He said, get in and go to the other side. Now, could I say, if Jesus tells you to get in and go somewhere, it's going to be all right. Sometimes our faith gets weak. Sometimes our flesh begins to doubt in the midst of adversity and trials and storms. But if God said it, that ought to settle it in our life. There was great debate back in the 70s. Somebody had a statement that said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And it's good to believe it, but it's settled whether we believe it or not. If God said it, friend, you can just count on it. It will take place. And so the command of the Savior, and then the communion of the Savior. The Bible said he went apart to pray. I always think that's amazing. I know, and you know, that Jesus Christ is, of course, the Son of God, but he's God the Son. He's robed in flesh, but he's all God and yet all man. And we find in the Scripture that on many occasions he took time to pray. And I just want to say this, if our Lord saw the necessity for him to pray, how much more should we pray? I know that the longer I live, the more I realize I'm no expert at prayer. And I don't know if there is one. I've met many people that I would consider great prayer warriors. I've met people, known people, have family members that undoubtedly were some of the greatest in their faithfulness in praying, and their prayer life was a great example. But I want you to understand that God is not impressed with fancy words, and our praying is not to impress anybody. And I'm for public praying, and I'm for group praying. But I'll tell you what really, dear friend, is wonderful. It's when it's just you and the Lord. And you can be very honest and very clear with him. And there's something exciting about talking to the Lord. I don't know about you. I get a little nervous in front of people. This is what God's called me to do, and I spend my life doing it. But you know, sometimes you get a little bit nervous, and I've always been excited about people when they get saved and they start growing, and like you do here, some of the men at different times in the service lead in prayer. And it's always, I guess, I hate to use the word fun, but it's kind of exciting to watch someone after they start growing in the Lord to finally be willing to pray publicly and get asked to pray. And they're a little apprehensive, a little nervous, and not sure what to say. And I love the honesty sometimes in the prayers of young Christians. We had one of our men that was taking the offering and during our camp meeting, and so at my dad's church, and they called on him to pray, and he started praying, you know, Lord, bless the offering and bless the meeting. And bless brother... Lord, bless brother Harold Boyd. No, that's not his name. Lord, bless brother Jack Thompson. No, Lord, that's not his name. And he named about four or five preachers, and finally somebody whispered, Jack Parchman. Bless Jack Parchman as he preaches tonight. And man, I'll tell you, he was embarrassed. But you know, I loved it. I thought, man, that's great. Because he was sincerely wanting to pray that God would bless the man. And hey, a half a dozen other preachers got prayed for in the middle of his prayer. But our communion, Jesus took time to pray. The crisis that came of the storm, it was unexpected. You know, when Jesus says, get in the boat and go to the other side, the last thing you're expecting is to face a storm. And you know, I wish I could predict, wouldn't you like to know everything that's going to happen? And at times I'm glad I don't know everything that's going to happen. But boy, sometimes something will arise in our life and we'll say, I didn't see that coming. Well, sometimes storms will come. And the concern of the servants, when the disciples of course, are in the midst of this storm. And then on top of that, they see Jesus walking on the water. And that scares them. They think He's a spirit. They were troubled in their heart as they watched Him walking on the sea. And listen, I'm not critical of that. That would be a strange occurrence. That would be an unusual happening that Jesus is not just coming, but He's walking on the water. And they don't yet know that it's Him. And so we see the challenge from Simon Peter. He said, "If it be Thou, bid me come." You know, you might want to be careful what you ask the Lord. Because He said, "Bid me come." And the Lord said, "All right, come." Wow. Now, I'll be honest with you, the safe place to be is the ship. Now, I know Jesus is on the water, but I mean, you know, really, let's think about it. He told him to get the ship, go the other side. So you know it's going to go the other side. But he gets out on the water, and I don't mean this wrong. All of a sudden, we see the collapse of Simon Peter. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. And man, I'll tell you, as he begins to sink, we find the cry of the sinking servant. He says, "Lord, save me." Not a long prayer, not a fancy prayer. Wasn't time to say, "Now, our most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, we want to thank you." No. "Lord, save me." Sometimes the sweetest prayers that I read in the Bible are short prayers. Like, "Help, Lord. Lord, save me." And you know, sometimes the salvation that we need is not necessarily the salvation like we talk about getting saved and becoming a child of God. There are other prayers in the Bible, like Peter's not, he's not asking for salvation to go to heaven. He just don't want to drown. "Lord, save me." The psalmist said that the wicked have waited for me to basically destroy me. They're looking for me to go under. So he said, "Lord, save me, for I am thine." You know, sometimes I need the Lord to save me from my worst enemy, me. Oh, I know the devil's our enemy, and I know the world is our enemy, but as much trouble as I have with the devil and as much trouble as I have with the world, I'll tell you, the guy that gives me the most trouble is me. I have to laugh every once in a while. I'll go places now and people say, "Wow, you really look like your dad." And what they're saying is, "Wow, you've really gotten old." And even sometimes when I shave in the morning, I'm looking and saying, "Wow, Dad's here." And I went to a funeral for my dad's brother. Dad was already in heaven. My dad's brother Floyd had passed away. And my dad's aunt, which would be my great aunt, who at that time was 100 years of age, I sat down beside her. I hadn't seen her in a long, long time. I said, "Aunt Edna, I don't know if you know who I am." She said, "Honey, I don't know your first name, but I know who you are. You're Virgil made all over again." And then she said, "Except I never saw his face this full," which was a nice way of saying, "You're a lot fatter than your dad." I looked at my Uncle Grant like, "Whoa." And he said, "Hey, when you're 100, you can say whatever you think. What are you going to do?" But she made it to 103, by the way. But I think about the cry of the sinking servant, "Lord, save me." But then the celebration of the saints when Jesus came on the ship and the storm ceased. The Bible tells us that they that were in the ship came and worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God." Now, just three things I want to mention tonight. And you know, when I say three things, that's usually three big things and a few little things, and then we'll be done. Number one, the reality of the storms. You know, storms are going to come. The Bible talks about these men going through the storm, and I don't care who you are or how long you live, sooner or later, life's going to hand you some storms, some trials, some heartaches, some burdens, some challenges. And one thing about this event that's going on here, we know that there's darkness around them. The Bible talked about the time of the night. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came walking on the sea. The darkness was there. Psalm 139 said this in verse 11 and 12, "If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." You know, I'm glad that God can see everything. I'm glad that even when things are dark for me, it's not dark for Him. I'm glad that He can see in the darkness of the night, in the difficult hours, in those days when our hearts seemed overwhelmed and sometimes we wonder, Lord, is there an end in sight? I imagine as the disciples are going through the storm, there had to be within them a wondering thought, are we going to make it to the other side? And I understand they should have believed what Jesus said. They should have had no fear, on the occasion when they were in the storm when Jesus was asleep in the boat. I have said if the disciples really trusted Jesus, they could have took a nap with Him. But they were afraid. Carest thou not that we perish? Well, wait a minute. He said we're going to the other side. And you know, this thing called life, we don't know exactly the twists and turns that it's going to bring. But one thing we do know, that if God has given us the assurance, for instance, as heaven is our home, everything's going to be all right. If we have the assurance that we're complete in Him, everything's going to be all right. Thank God that we have a real Savior who gives a real promise of eternal life. But not only that, He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Well, I'm glad for His ever-abiding presence, and I'm glad for His available power as we walk through this journey called life, that we don't have to do it by ourselves. Our flesh, the arm of flesh, will fail you every time. But I'll tell you, God can empower you and strengthen you and strengthen me to go through life and do it with His might and His power because of who He is. But not only was it darkness, and not only were they dealing with despair, Mark 6:48 said, and He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And the fourth watch of the night He cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Now think about this rowing and in the toiling that they were doing. Several years ago, two of my boys and I had gone out on a little lake in our area to do some fishing, and we were in a rowboat. We didn't even have a motor, and man, the water was calm, and it was, you know, nothing to it. And so we had made our way out there, and we were fishing, and well, we were starting to head back, and all of a sudden, winds came up so strong that no matter how hard we had rowed, we just kept getting pushed backwards. And you know, your boys always look at you like, Dad, are we going to be all right? And you're looking, oh yeah, it's going to be fine. And then inside you're going, help, Lord. We can't make any headway. And boy, I tell you, I didn't know if we was ever going to get out of there. And all of a sudden a gentleman came by, and he had a motor on his boat, and he saw that we were really struggling. So he was gracious enough to tow us in so that we didn't have to fight all the way back. And boy, I'll tell you what, I'm so glad that the Lord sent him by our way. Well, listen, I know sometimes we feel like our efforts and our energies get expelled and to the point that it's almost frustrating. Lord, why are we going through this? And Lord, how can I overcome this? And yet I want you to understand, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. And God's not desiring to destroy you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to strengthen you. He's trying to teach you. And I can imagine the lessons they were learning. But the Bible said they were in the deep, said they were in the midst of the sea. I know your pastor has been to Israel and been to the Sea of Galilee, I'm sure, and it's a beautiful body of water. And you know, the first time I ever went, I didn't know what to expect. It's also called Lake Gennesaret. But you go there, and right around the Sea of Galilee, there's a mountain called Mount Arabel, and very, very common for storms to come across that mountain unexpectedly. And you know, you think about in the days of Christ, we were there one time, our first trip we were there, and got on the boat. Man, the sun was shining, a beautiful day. And we hadn't been out there no time, and a storm came. And well, I'll tell you, the waves started tossing, and the wind started blowing, and the rain was coming down. They put the flaps down on that boat we were on, and tried to, you know, adjust things, even using the motor, trying to get to where they'd be comfortable. And we had been asked to sing a song, and then I was to bring a short message about the Sea of Galilee. So I'm holding on to a pole, and my wife is holding on to me, and we sang, He Can Say, Peace Be Still. And man, all of a sudden, it just calmed down. The sun started shining again, and we made it to the other side without any problem. We got off the other side. Normally, we'd be on that boat just with our group, but there was a small group of Catholic folks that got on there at the same time, and just a handful, and their priest. And we got to the other side, and the Catholic priest came up to me, and he said, I just want you to know that I believe it was the prayers of you Baptists that got us safely to the other side, because frankly, I was scared to death. And so I got tickled at him. And of course, you know, I just think about how the Lord we had no problem getting safely out of there. But boy, I tell you, the disciples, they were out in the midst of it. It was deep. But sometimes we need to recognize the reality of storms. But secondly, let's talk about the reminder in the storms. As we go through the storms of life, there are some things we need to be reminded of. We see that in the storm, first of all, it revealed the Savior. The Bible said they saw Him. You know, I think some of the challenges, circumstances, and burdens of life come to us. That as we heard this morning, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Sometimes God just wants to get our focus on Him. He really is all I need. Well, I understand we have needs and desires and all of that, but I'm telling you, everything that we need is wrapped up in Him. And if we could just get our eyes on Him, and sometimes a storm will reveal the Savior. The Bible said they saw Him. Jesus said, peace. Well, I'll tell you, that's exciting. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Aren't you glad that He can say peace in the storms of your life, that He can calm the heartache and the hurt and the pain and the sorrow that life brings to us? Listen, it's true. What a friend we have in Jesus. We sang it this morning, but He is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And He can say, peace be still. He can say, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. The peace that passeth all understanding. I thought about my brother today when he was killed. He was working on his car when it fell on him in 1981. Jeff had he had jacked the car up and then put a block under it. And thought he had it good and secure, but there was a wind that came up. And when the jack shifted, instead of that block catching it, it kicked out from it. And, of course, the car fell on him and killed him instantly. I was at home when I got the word. I drove to my parents' house. By that time, the ambulance had already taken him to the hospital. And so when I got there to the house, I went up to the room that used to be our shared bedroom. And I knelt beside his bed. Boy, I tell you, my heart was broken. I got a call from one of our men was at the hospital. He said, Ken, they have pronounced Jeff dead. And I said, I'll be right there. But before I left for the hospital, I knelt beside his bed. And I said, Lord, I don't even begin to understand all that You're doing. But I know this, You make no mistakes. And Lord, I'd sure appreciate if You would just help me in the midst of this storm to know that peace, that joy. And can I tell you something? You can have, in the midst of hurt and heartache, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh, I don't mean that I was happy that He died. I was heartbroken. But at the same time, the peace of God flooded my soul. Could I just remind you tonight, dear friend, that when you're a child of God, it's different for us than it is for those that don't know the Lord. I couldn't imagine what people go through that don't know the Lord. But not only is there peace, there's power. He said, it is I. You know, there's some situations in life when I show up, that's not going to make a difference. When He shows up, it makes all the difference in the world. He said, it is I. And then the prospect of what could happen when Jesus gets on the scene. Man, they're seeing miracle stuff. The storm ceases and the calm comes and they make it safely to the other side. So the reminder is not only that it reveals the Savior, but it also refines the saints. Listen, when we get in the storms of life, one thing that we're going to find out, we're going to learn that we can trust Him. You know, faith is simply taking God at His word. Amen. Believing God. My dad used to say, faith is not just believing that God can, but that He will. And believing what God said, dear friend, and as they learned that they could trust Him. And by the way, we can trust the Lord. I can trust Jesus. Isaiah 51:15 said, but I'm the Lord thy God that divided the sea whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is His name. I can trust Jesus. Well, I'm glad. Listen, I don't always understand every valley, every trial, every burden, every heartache that life seems to bring. And by the way, if you live long enough, you'll understand. But there are ups and downs. There are moments of great joy and, I mean, unspeakable happiness. And then there are other times when your heart will be heavy. But in the midst of it all, you can find out, dear friend, that God's trying to build in you something very special. And you can just realize you can trust the Lord. He said in Isaiah 51:15 again, but I am the Lord thy God that divided the sea whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is His name. I know that God is able to handle my storms. And then not only do we find the reminder in the storms, we notice the reality that storms take place. But number three, let's talk about the reassurance in the storms. You know, one thing about it, no matter who you are, if you're a child of God, He's with you. Hebrews 13, I quoted it a while ago. I think it's verse 5, if I'm remembering right. But he said, be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You understand, in life, sometimes people can leave you. Sometimes people can leave you and not forsake you. There have been times like right now, you know, my wife's at home and I'm here. Most of the time she's with me, and I like it better that way. I've made some mission trips with other men and she wasn't able to go. I would leave her, but I didn't forsake her. I made sure that, you know, she had what was needed for getting groceries and, you know, and all the things that were necessary for her to survive till I got back, and so that I could communicate with her and all those good things. I left her, but I didn't forsake her. And then, you know, sometimes there are people that have forsaken their loved ones, but they haven't left. There are people that have lived in the same house for a long time, but they do it for convenience. They do it because, you know, for the children's sake. But man, I mean, as far as having any kind of a real marriage, it's pathetic. And they've forsaken them, but they haven't left. And then there are some that have gone so far as to leave and forsake and just break people's hearts. And I understand all that. But I want you to think about the power of what Jesus said. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And he's with me everywhere I go, every step of the way. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a faithful one that he is. And there is reassurance of his presence, but then there's reassurance of his protection. My cousin Tom, I mentioned him this morning. When he was a kid, he was always running home from school one particular year. And as soon as school was out, he'd take off, run home. His older brother finally asked him, why are you running home every night after school? He said, there's a guy at school who wants to beat me up. He's a big guy. And so my cousin's brother said to him, well, I'll go with you tomorrow and we'll face up to him. Well, his brother was 10 years older than him. He was pretty excited. You know, you can be pretty brave when your brother 10 years older than you is there. So he was there and Tom walked out to the car. And Larry said to him, which one is he? That one right there. He said, hey, come here. He said, I understand you want to beat up my brother. He said, I sure do. He said, all right, here he is. And so Larry told him, he said, well, I knew you'd either get whooped or whooped him, but, you know, quit running home. But anyway, that's not the kind of friend I want. But anyway, the Lord reassures us of his protection. He's going to keep us safe. And then the reassurance of his provision. God's faithful to meet his children's needs. Brother Parchman used to say, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He may only trust me with one hamburger at a time, but he's going to take care of me. I believe that with all my heart. God is faithful to provide for his children. And so we find the reassurance in the storm. The Savior brings comfort to his children. Sometimes life can be so adverse and challenges so great. But 2 Thessalonians 2:16 and 17, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, the Bible said, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Isaiah 51:12, he said, I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou, that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? Would you understand, the Lord is going to be there, and he's going to bring comfort. But I'm glad, not only does the Savior bring comfort, I'm glad the Spirit of God brings us comfort. I'm glad to know that I have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, listen, it's nothing spooky or weird, but I'm glad that he speaks to my heart. I'm glad, dear friend, that the Scriptures bring comfort. Boy, don't you love the Word of God? Man, sometimes just what I need at just the right moment, I find it in the Word of God. I mean, sometimes you just be reading your Bible, and all of a sudden, boy, God will make something clear to you. He'll show you something. He'll speak to your heart. The Scriptures will really do it. I'll tell you something else. The saints of God will bring comfort to you. I'm glad for Christian friends. Now be careful what we say if somebody's going through a heartache and a sorrow. Don't try to think you have all the answers. We don't. And sometimes the ministry of presence will speak volumes, and that's a sermon for another day. But just sometimes being around other believers, other saints of God that say, hey, I'm praying for you. And I know that God's going to get you through this. And I'm telling you, in the midst of our storms, we find there's reassurance. God hasn't forsaken you. Peter's out there and he said, if it's you, bid me come. And he starts walking on the water and he starts sinking because he starts looking at the circumstances around him. But he says, Lord, save me. And Jesus reaches down. And it must have been interesting. Peter walked for a little bit on the water. And then he started going under and Jesus rescued him. And in my imagination, as they walked back to the ship, it must have been exciting to know he's still walking on the water, but now he's not trying to do it in his own effort and energy. He's fully trusting in the Lord. And oh, listen, when we face the adversities of life, we got to understand that we've got to depend on Him. He is our answer in the time of trouble. He is our answer in the midst of the storm. He is the one that's going to bring us through the valleys and the trials and the burdens of life. And listen, I can trust Jesus. Now, if you're not saved tonight, that's where it starts. You got to give your heart to Christ. I'm telling you, dear friend, if you're not saved, don't ever put that off or say, I'll get around to it one of these days. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. But if you're saved tonight, when you go through the storms of life, it isn't time to get bitter. It isn't time to get backslidden. That's not the answer. But it's the time to draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. It's the time to say, Lord, I need You. Just when I need Him most, He's there. And oh, you'll be able to say, Lord, I don't always understand the circumstances of life, but I know this, that as long as You're with me, everything's going to be all right. Let's bow our heads for prayer.